Log Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to, it's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday evening. It's the 8 o'clock hour on the Blog Talk Radio Network. This is the K. Thompson Live Show. I am the one that you know as the son, and you are, lady.
The mother. I'm K. Thompson. Welcome, everybody, to K. Thompson Live. We've got a dynamite show for you this evening. Glad to see and glad to hear and glad to have some nice weather for a change. We're moving into some nice weather. We have had quite a winter, right, Derek? All that snow.
Yeah.
Couldn't even move. I'm telling you, it was very difficult, very cold. And I have coming, had a cold. And but anyway, things are moving along. Wanted to say thank you to all the people who showed up for who attended the Donald Payne. Big
Congressional ball
at the Military Park in Newark. Thank you.
Robert
Treat Hotel. And it was very successful, so a lot of people, and we're glad to see them all very active and still, you know, just being very, very much involved in political, what's happening in Newark, what's happening around the world, as a matter of fact, especially with the new person in the White House. Let's hope that he... It won't be too long when he leaves.
Right. Yeah, Maxine Waters was very inspiring.
Yeah.
Came to town for Congressman Donald Payne Jr., a fundraiser, annual black tie fundraiser that began with Don Payne Sr. many years ago, and it's continuing the tradition. So it was a nice event, turned out pretty nice. And as you were saying, you wanted to say something else.
Yeah, also I wanted to let everybody know about the former president of the NAACP here in Newark, Sally Carroll. You know, she's doing well, and she's, not up and around, but, you know, still as powerful as she was before. So we're going to be saying hello to her after the show. I talk to her frequently. And so she's doing well, as can be expected.
All right. And now let's open up the mic for one of our co-hosts, Mr. Byron Saunders. What's up, Byron? How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm enjoying a day in New York. I mean, we're caught in between yesterday and today, and 5 degrees either way can make a difference. So I think we're enjoying spring, right?
So it would appear that we are.
Yes.
And let's also bring in Wayne, brother Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, our other co-host.
Hey.
Hello.
Good evening,
Wayne,
everyone.
Wayne.
And it feels like we're going directly into summer from what I see. I don't know. Not to say that I really am complaining at this point, having had probably one of the coldest winters, enough to make me think about relocating. But we're here.
Yeah, the weather seems to be particularly crazy. And I don't know how people can say there's no kind of climate change or some kind of change going on, because the extreme weather swings are something that we haven't normally, at least on the eastern part of the country, experienced. You know, it's kind of like when you go out west or if you're in the desert somewhere and they have those extreme temperature swings, but it's not something that I remember being indicative to the East Coast. So that's really kind of a crazy thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm. At the top.
What? You want what, Ma?
You want to say about the top of the show?
All right,
go ahead.
In.
At the
go
top
ahead,
of the show,
ahead.
we expect to hear, excuse me, I'm still having remnants of a cold. We're expecting a call from Bermuda, from Gina Payne Scott, and she's going to be telling us about the new television construction, renovation, rather, of the new television, you know, studio
right
there, and pretty much underway. And it sounds like a very important and, you know, successful, we hope, endeavor. And a lot of people know about Bermuda. You know, it's a beautiful island, 24 miles long. But, boy, is it great. And,
right.
You know, but a lot of people are listening in to the show in Bermuda. So we're going to shout out to, you know, say hello to them. And we have a Dynamite show on for today.
Okay.
Yerker, you can tell me all about it right now.
Right. All right. Like I was saying, Mac, we just so you guys know, we were talking about it earlier, we had Maxine Waters that came to town for Congressman Donald Payne. And as usual, she was inspiring, and she did not back down about her criticism about Donald Trump or anything that he stands for. You know, I saw happened to see a video earlier today. You know, they had their first state of their first state visit, right? State dinner with the president of France, and it was one of these video clip shows or whatever, these little kind of TMZ-ish type show, and they were talking about how the French president, his wife, you know, the four leaders, the two presidents and their wives stand at attention, reviewing whatever. And, you know, they had the French president there and his wife holding hands. And they had Trump. And they zeroed in on his hand next to Melania, who would refuse to hold his hand. And you could see him moving his pinky, trying to brush her hand and stuff like that. And it was, I forget what station it was on. I almost want to say it was on the Real News that they zoomed in, or maybe Wendy Williams or whoever. But they picked up on this, man, and it is just – it's hilarious when you think about it that the First Lady doesn't want to have anything to do with it. But if you see see him trying to make attempts to hold her hand or get her to hold his hand, it is hilarious.
No, no, it's really – it's downright embarrassing because she looks so uncomfortable at times. Whenever I see her, she looks like she's angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and or embarrassed. I don't know how she puts up with it. However, First Lady, she's holding up pretty well.
What do you guys think of this latest situation? Where we also have, we're going to be talking about the Montclair Film Festival this evening, which I believe begins today here in Montclair, New Jersey, the 26th through May 6th. And I forget which year this is, but I think we're going to have the executive director or someone from the Montclair Film Festival going to be calling in and give us some things. I'm going to be doing something in coordination with them and the Tilt Film Festival, where we're going to be talking to Richard Wesley and discussing his filmmaking and the film screenwriting and things like that. So, yeah, we're going to be doing all of those things in a little bit. Just wondering what do you guys think about what's going on with, I see that Trump's boy Cohen has got his strategy, and what do you guys have some, I guess I would say Trump stories, but any kind of news story that is particularly getting on your nerves, gentlemen?
I'll let Brian. Byron, sorry.
Well, the most interesting and disturbing is, yes, this ongoing soap opera with Cohen and Mueller and FBI and Justice and the number 45 is indeed heating up. It's getting more and more interesting, because what they're really finding out and proving is that not only is the corruption of an administration whose incompetence from A to Z, every single appointee is as corrupt as the president himself. And with the new suggestion that the doctor become the head of the VA, being recognized as the candy man. Oh my goodness. Passing out drugs
right
on the airplane, getting drunk. See, I mean, this is the swamp that is currently in our Oval Office. And the French president made it very clear at the well of the Congress, he is totally against Trump's administration and what they're trying to do. And afterwards, once you follow the rest of the story, when he greeted Congressman John Lewis from the 5th Congressional District, the bromance that you saw with Trump and Macron and his wife and Melania was totally different when he embraced John Lewis. That was real. It was something, it was almost like it was surreal. It was so real because it was genuine. And they hugged each other for a long time. It's one of those kind of embraces in brotherhood that you don't see anybody embrace the president like that. So there is on the horizon a better group of leaders who are rebuking Trump and everything about him and his administration. And so I'm encouraged that they're moving forward. They want to plead the fifth. That's fine. Take the fifth, the sixth. I don't care. I am almost like your mom, Eric.
That's
the point at which enough is enough. Yeah. But I will say this, and because Wayne, I want to hear your take on it for sure. But I want to give a shout out, compliments like your Maxine Waters coming to the event and upcoming film festivals last Monday at the Harlem Hospital. You remember I told you I was directing a reading of Yvette Heidegger's play Father's Day. I had the pleasure of having over 250 people in the Harlem Hospital Auditorium, Eric, for a reading, okay?
Yeah.
For a play about child abuse, incest, domestic violence, brilliantly written, 5 amazing actors that Yvette Heidegger wrote the play, Michelle Quintero, Lauren Bryant, a 14-year-old who, I mean, they knocked it out the park. People were in tears streaming down their face by the end of the reading. Dominic Marcus, Johnny May, Jean Lauren Smith, and Denise Dumain all participated in the reading that Boza Rivers helped to sponsor and produce. So when you have 250 people show up for a reading, that's really amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I just wanted to and congratulations about that. I wanted to before you give your take on things, Wayne, I wanted to just say, you know, I noticed, and maybe you guys noticed it too, my take about the whole kind of bromance or these guys all kind of hugging each other, or the French president with Trump, I kind of get the impression that the French president is kind of, you know, feels that he can manhandle Trump. He's peaked the fact that the whole tough guy facade is exactly that facade. You know, that I think he established it when he shook his hand and held on to it for an extra long time, and Trump was trying to pull his hand away and he's looking at him. And now just the way he grabs him and stuff like that, it's like, you know, it's like somebody who knows I got this guy. Let me just, you know, I like that fella because I'm just, you know. That's kind of the impression I got a little bit earlier or today when I was looking at some of the footage between them expressing their affection towards each other. What do you think, Wayne?
I happen to agree, and congratulations again there, Byron, on the effort there at Harlem Hospital. You know, we're living in some strange times, and I'm listening to everyone's opinion about what's going on, you know, with our president. My biggest fear right now is that he still remain as president for the next, you know, term. And I mean, for this term, hopefully it'll be over. With all the efforts to prove a smoking gun and impeachment, I just wonder, given the turbulence that goes on in this country, in terms of when you go outside of the urban areas and you hear people talk, it's almost like as if we're on the precipice of some sort of racial war, depending upon where you're going. I mean, there are some progressive whites who understand what is going on, and they're clearly against what this administration is putting out. But I'm seeing more of the hatred, or feeling more of that in some areas, or witnessing it, you know, that baffles my mind. I'm even wondering, even on the part of the media, if there's some undercurrent going on saying that we need to ride this thing out because it helps our ratings, that sort of thing. And again, I didn't hear all of the French president's address this morning, But, you know, the excerpts I did hear and what I did get a chance to watch, you know, it's salient. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of the world leaders are seeing through Trump, including North Korea's leader, Kim. You know, I don't think for 1 minute that this whole business of getting together is going to change things overnight. And John Lewis is a rock star. I mean, he's been there almost, and it could be mistaken, I think 50 years now. He's now the senior man of this, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, that Rangel and John Conyers are, you know, they're gone. And, you know, I mean, even if he subtly tried to show more affection, leaning towards someone like Lewis, I think the world realizes that the U.S. is in chaos, and even the recently outgoing Secretary of State has probably said enough, you know, around the world to let people know that yes, we are united as a country. God forbid that something should offend us or attack us. But, you know, Trump is out for Trump. And that's one thing that Mueller's investigation is showing, even though he has not released any documentation, just the media speculation, what people are seeing, it just goes to show that, you know, we're in to hear more. But I just wonder, you know, if impeachment is really going to be, you know, the elixir to cure the problems within this country. We're very divided.
Right, we are. Let's go to our correspondent from Bermuda, so to speak, Gina Payne. Scott, what's happening?
Shalom, how are you?
Shalom.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can. Loud and clear.
Good, you can hear me perfect, because I can't hear any reverb, I can't hear anything back, and I was trying to listen to it live and talk at the same time, which I know is not what you're supposed to do, but I'm glad I got through to you guys. Hi, Wayne. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hey, Eric.
Hello. How you doing? Also say hello to our other co-host, Byron Saunders. Byron, say hello to Gina Payne, Scott.
Hi, Mr.
Also.
Saunders. How are you?
Well, if you could send us some of that nice warm weather, I sure would appreciate it. Fine, thank you.
It's coming.
Are you guys still suffering with bad weather, cold?
Allergies.
Yeah.
That's what we're suffering from.
Oh, man, that's no fun. Well, yeah, I'll try to blow some in your direction, but, you know, we're enjoying finally a little weather break, a little reprieve that we've had. Certainly nothing, it's all relative, nothing like what you guys have had to deal with, but, you know, it does get a little cold to Bermuda. Bermuda is subtropical, and people forget that, so it's like we experience two seasons, pretty much, you know, summer and then the winter months, which is 2 months. Of, I guess, when you say February, March, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
So now the weather's starting to break, and it's quite beautiful. Yeah, so you guys didn't have more snow, did you, recently?
No, not really.
No, just cold weather.
But what's going to be happening, Gina? We want to hear about your big project, okay? What's going on
there?
Yes, tell us,
please.
Television. Please,
well,
we're all done here.
Fantastical. Well, I'm certainly happy to tell you. Well, Bermuda, you know, Bermuda is a small island, and Bermuda has had basically, historically, two fully operated, full-fledged television studios historically. That was the Bermuda Broadcasting Company and DuPont's Broadcasting Company. And for years and years and years, Bermuda had Bermuda Broadcasting Company had two networks. So it had ABC and CBS. And the ABC station in Bermuda is called ZFB. That's the letter Z. But because it's British, of course, we say our Z's, we say it Z. So it's ZFB TV7, which is our ABC affiliate, and then our ZBM, which is ZBM, CBS TV9. So we had basically ABC and CBS. And, you know, so they've run anything ABC or you know everything network, ABC and CBS, and then the other television station was Defiance Broadcasting, and their call letters were V as in Victor, VSB, and they carried NBC. So we've always enjoyed at least three major networks. So what has happened over the years, Cablevision, you know, many years ago now, 20-plus years ago, Cablevision came, so that opened up, you know, a lot of channels here, and then they carried the local feed for ABC and CBS. So if you had a cable subscription, you would get all of the channels, and then your ABC and CBS was pulled through the Bermuda Broadcasting Company. So that's how we were able to maintain local programming. And same thing, I believe, with the other station. That's where we got our NBC. So having said that, over the years, you know, some channels have been able to pop up here and there. There's another station called Fresh TV. And over the years, there's another one, several of them. One of them called, what do you call it? CITV, and that basically is the government channel. So they run, you know, community interest, you know, like a public access sort of a thing, but it's a government channel. So anything, you know, having to do with the ins and outs of Bermuda, and then, of course, you know, lifestyle, entertainment, all of that. So that was another channel. And then, what else? And then, of course, there is Channel 82. I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it right now. So the other one is Channel 82. This is all part of the story because Bermuda didn't historically have anything. This is why it's such a big deal about what I'm about to tell you. So I'm rounding third now. So Channel 82 was the other channel. And Channel 82, so what I'm about to tell you, the big story, is that Channel 82 is about to air a television show with four co-hosts, sort of like The View or The Talk or The Real style. And so they start. Go ahead. What are you saying?
I just called.
You were going to interject? Oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
There's a slight delay. So sorry, because it's like an echo. You know, so I'm trying to be mindful if you're talking or if it's just, you know, that sort of, we get like a blank spot sometimes, so sorry about that. But so Channel 82 is now starting a new TV show, and we've come up with the name of it. It's called The Talk. I mean, I'm not The Talk, The T, the letter T, The T, you know, like you know, the common the common vernacular, The T. What's The T? Spill the T. Who has The T? You know, that's the topic. And that's the name of the show, and the topics are hot topics. So any topic of the day, whatever's trending locally or internationally, you know, hot topics to get a good conversation going. So what they've done is they've created a contest to see who the hosts for the show are going to be. Four TV hosts are going to ultimately be the show. So, again, it's pretty pretty much all the format is exactly like The View or The Real or The Talk. You know, four ladies on a panel, and we'll be talking about hot topics. And then, of course, we'll have, you know, little features, you know, someone who comes, maybe an author or a fashion, just like, you know, any other TV show. So the exciting thing for me and why I gave you that background is because anyone who in Bermuda who is in the television or broadcasting industry in Bermuda, it's been somewhat frustrating over the years because there were only that many avenues for us to go if you were in that field. So, you know, with the three major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, there was just very limited space because, you know, say there's 300 of us locally in the TV industry and there's only those three channels. So it was very frustrating. There was no place to go and, you know, really spread your creative wings in terms of having a interesting television show on in any format, whether it's a talk show or, you know, sports show or whatever, a drama or anything, just hasn't been. So the exciting thing is this Channel 82, which is Crimson Media, owned by Lamone Woods and his partner, the Gino Group, and that's Amir X. So those are the executive producers, and they are two of the most creative people locally. And okay. So we're really excited.
Let me jump in here,
sir,
if I can.
Go ahead.
So this Channel 82 is a new alternative channel to the networks that have been, the major networks that have already been there, right? The CBS, affiliate, the NBC affiliate, the ABC affiliate. Is that correct?
Right. Well, it's not that it's new, but it's, I mean, it's historically, it's one of the newer channels, but they've been up and running for a couple of years, but they've taken it into a new, they've just burst open the field here locally because they've decided to dedicate their channel strictly to local content and local programming and really opening it up so that there's a there is an area for people in this industry to go. So that's behind the camera, that's in front of the camera. So he's doing go ahead.
So that's the kind of the local station that's kind of, I'm trying to equate it to that. Would that be equated to Fox? You know, when they first, Fox was the fourth major network
right.
in the United States. So this would be the equivalent to a Fox or another major network that's,
exactly.
that's starting to come up and be at the feet. I see.
Right.
And so they're leading with this new program that you guys are launching, this new program to relaunch the network to compete on that level. Is that the correct understanding?
Yes, all of that's true, except for the fact that it's not new, because the station
right.
has been around for a long time. But you're right in terms of they are rebranding and opening it up because they are the other major local network. Yeah.
Okay,
so the other thing.
What is your input in it? Okay, let's get to that. What are you doing? What are you doing?
So they. Yeah, they started a contest to see who was going to fill the four spots on this TV show. So a brand new TV show, they created a contest that was open to the public for anybody to come and audition to be one of the hosts of the show, one of the four hosts of the show. So it's been a very exciting audition process, and that's when I first noticed on the different scale that this was. Like I said, having been in Bermuda for all of these years and been in the industry, these guys have done something completely different by taking it up several notches. So the standard is, it reminds me of being, you know, at home in New York, you know, where the standards are just so different. All the I's are dotted, all the T's, all the, you know, the audio quality, the visual quality, the content, everything about it is, they just basically stepped up their game so much. And part of the reason was because they do want to be able to have programming that can be aired internationally and be at the same standard and, you know, not have it look like, you know, oh, cute little island thing. And mind you, there are a lot of good programs in Bermuda, and the quality is very good, but – you know, it's just a difference. It's a slight difference. So these guys have really stepped up their game.
Right.
So
rebranding, and they're really trying to step it up to compete on the major scale. And I think that you're probably going to have a scoop as one of with the new show here, because I think we have our guest from the Montclair Film Festival might be calling in on the line. I believe we're looking for Tom Hall. Tom, would this be you?
Oh. Yes. Hello.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey.
Hi, Tom.
Okay. Hold on, Gina, please. Hey, Tom. So Tom Hall is executive director of the Montclair Film Festival. Is that correct, Tom?
That's right.
And so the fortunate thing here is that we have someone overseas in Bermuda that's also going to be talking about the Montclair Film Festival, but just kind of coincidence, a little bit of serendipity. But why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the festival? Myself as a New Jerseyan that's in the business and finding out that Montclair has had a film festival for the last, five or six years has been very encouraging. It's great to see that the industry is branching out and starting to include Jersey a little bit more. But why don't you go ahead and tell us about the film festival a little bit, the Montclair Film Festival a little bit, Tom.
Absolutely. So the festival started about 7 years ago. This is our seventh festival. It opens tomorrow night in Montclair. We do about 170 films for about 30,000 audience members over the course of 11 days. We have a wide-ranging program, short films, feature films, documentary films, films of all kinds. And we bring in over 100 filmmakers and actors and producers to the festival. We show works, I think, that are from a diverse range of points of view. We're looking to speak to our entire community. So we, you know, Montclair has a very strong African-American community. There's an LGBTQ community there. Mm. We have young people. We have people from all different walks of life. And so we really try to find the best films that we can that speak to the wide range of interests of the people in our community. And we try to bring in the best. And it's going to be a great event this year. I'm hoping to get some sleep tonight so that I can make it through 11 days.
Now, what and Byron or Wayne or Gina, if you guys have a question, have a question for Tom that we can talk to him about. But let me just ask, what made the committee, the Montclair Film Festival committee, what caused the creation of the Montclair Film Festival?
7 years ago, Bob Feinberg, who's our chairman and founder of the festival, sort of had a kitchen table meeting at Evelyn and Stephen Colbert's house. And they were talking about, with a small group of sort of local film enthusiasts, about starting a film festival and finding a way to get a nonprofit film organization off the ground. Stephen Colbert and his wife Evelyn, who's our board president, grew up in South Carolina, and they were very involved in the Spoleto Arts Festival in Charleston. And they wanted to see that festival had a real impact on their lives as young people. They saw that arts were a possibility, that, you know, acting and theater and music and all the performing arts were a viable, celebrated thing. And they wanted to see something like that reflected in Montclair. And I think their advocacy with the hard work of our board of directors was sort of the inspiration that got things rolling. This is my fourth year. Initially, Tom Powers and Raphael Nehausen, who are a really wonderful film festival programming and directing team, who also live in Montclair, got the festival started. It was a six-day event, a little over 70 films. So we've doubled all of that basically in the last 7 years. I came on 4 years ago, and we've expanded ever since. We've got a home now in Montclair. So we've built a cinema of our own with an education center. We teach classes in filmmaking and filmmaking arts to grades six through adult. Everything from editing, screenwriting. We have scholarships for students in need.
And where is that located? That's right in Montclair, centrally located?
Yes, it's at 505 Bloomfield Avenue, right downtown Montclair. And we work with all the high school, area schools, the public schools, all different schools, all different backgrounds. Kids come from all walks of life to participate in our programs. We do summer camps for students.
Right.
It's really a big part of our mission. So it's really been a success story and a growth story. It's been very quick, which is really nice because I think they did it the right way. They wanted to build an institution, not an event. Mm. And we've been working very diligently year round to make that happen. So I'm very proud of where we are.
I have a quick question. I was just wondering if that's the same Stephen Colbert that we have on TV, because I know he's from South Carolina.
That is the same Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
That's the same. Yeah, so we work with him pretty closely. This week, for example, he does a lot of our celebrity conversations at the film festival. So we have these public discussions with actors and directors. This year, Rachel Weisz, the actress, Academy Award winner, is coming. Jeff Daniels, Ethan Hawke. They're all doing programs with Stephen Colbert at the festival. He's also doing a couple of Q&As for us. But he's sort of it's nice to be able to have his name on the stationery because people pay a little more attention when you send the letter of invitation. And
absolutely.
That's been a real key to our success.
Full disclosure, I'm doing a talk with Richard Wesley talking about his career and his
right.
work as a writer as well. So kind of full disclosure while we're talking about it. But, you know, also too, Tom, as you know, I, as an actor and someone in the business, I had been living in Los Angeles for a long time. And one of my sisters who was local here in Montclair told me that after 9/11, that a lot more of the people in the industry that worked in the industry started moving over here to Jersey. You know, early days, a lot of people didn't think that Jersey even existed sometimes in terms of the business. But and I always knew that there were a lot of us here that are in the industry that are from Montclair. Obviously, Richard being from Newark, New Jersey, and living in Montclair. Queen Latifah being the product of East Orange, New Jersey. Whitney Houston, obviously. So there are a lot of people in that came from Jersey that are in the business, particularly in this area, that was kind of the basis for that before even the film festival started. So this kind of event is something that utilizes all of that,
absolutely.
All of those skills.
Yeah, Lauryn Hill, also from the area. It's a really great town for the media. You know, I always joke about it, but it's true. I think half of the New York Times staff lives in Montclair. It's a real media town. A lot of people in television, in the news. When Chris Christie was the governor of New Jersey, he called it Communist Montclair, half joking, I think. It's a very thoughtful, progressive town in that way. It's very engaged in political action and politics and social justice issues. So there's a platform there for those topics at the festival as well. We don't take sides. We're a nonprofit. We present work and create a platform for conversation.
And maybe sometime in the future, you know, we can do a joint venture project with Gina Payne Scott in Bermuda and extend this whole film festival thing. And because there is this the television, new television, you know, going up in Bermuda. So, you know, we are doing it from one place to another, from here to Bermuda.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gina, go ahead.
I was going to say, and Bermuda does host film festivals already, and they have grown in popularity over the years and have featured some, you know, very, very, you know, well-known. I can't call them off the top of my head now, but it's very well attended, and it's, you know, got a great following as of now, you know, international film festivals that come here and that would do well. And that's one of the other areas in Bermuda that's growing a lot is the arts in general. So Montclair Film Festival, Montclair, with all of the creativity, like you said, Montclair is just a melting pot of so many creative people, which is nice to, you know, have that featured. And being that it's the East Coast, a lot of Bermudians do migrate or live in the Montclair, Essex County area, but a lot in the Montclair. And the fact that you're centrally located just makes it, you know, convenient for everybody. Just to talk about the talk show that I'm doing right here, when the four co-hosts do get selected, the executive producers, Amir X and Lamone Woods, they will be taking the finalist to New York to just be completely immersed in the creative experience and the experience of how it is done on another scale, you know, on that level of New York and, you know, the industry on that level. We'll be going to either The View as audience members, and then we'll be talking, you know, backstage to, you know, do a Q&A, or if that's not available, we'll be going to the Wendy Williams show, they said. So they have the executive producers have contacts in both, so now we're just waiting to see which one of the two fits our time slot. So while we're there, you know, it would be, I say while we're there as if I got it already, but I'm hoping to be one of the finalists. While we're there, we're, you know, certainly come on the Kate Thompson Live show again. And, you know, hopefully if there's something going on with the Montclair Film Festival, at least take a look over there and see what you guys are doing, if there is any joint ventures that can happen. Because Channel 82, like I said, they're trying to create a talent pool at their station so that Bermuda can feed Bermuda creatively as far as, you know, television and broadcasting industry. So now that we've got this television station, Channel 82, there are, you know, 7 days in the week, 24 hours a day, and programming, you know, is obviously essential. So it's one of the things
right.
that their mandate is that they are trying to create a, you know, a talent pool here locally. And one of the things I want to say this has always stood out in my mind. Kay Thompson Payne, years ago, my mom used to say that the broadcast industry, she would say, we are on the verge of a multi-channel in universe. We're going to have hundreds and hundreds of channels, and we're going to need content for that. And it always stood out in my mind. I'm like, oh, what does she mean by that? We are on the verge of a multi-channel universe, and we're going to need programming. Well, sure enough, I mean, this was back when, Mom, you said this so many years ago, and then, of course, it was around the time, I guess, TV3 and cable. So there's a bunch of channels, 16, 20 channels. Next thing you know, you've got cable, and there's 300 channels, 600 channels. You can open up your cable, turn on your cable now when I was there last, and there's 800 channels, so you were correct. Sorry,
and
so just saying, making the point that
in.
How correct she was.
Right. And let me jump in and say, out of the festival here, and I just want to ask you, Tom, that have you guys, what, you know, traditionally film festivals are able to, for, a way for filmmakers to present their work and potentially get deals. Have you had any films that have come out of, that have premiered at the Montclair Film Festival that have went on to be released widely and received other awards, or can you point to some?
I mean, we've had a lot of success with award campaigns for films after. So one of the things about film festivals, you know, there are two types. There are the big dogs who are, you know, the market festivals where movies go to get bought and
right.
sold. And that's the Sundance, the Cannes Film Festival, the Berlin Film Festival, those big globally recognized festivals. The rest of us, I think festivals that know their place in the pecking order, it's very important to know who you are. We're not a market festival in that way. Our goal is to connect artists with our community in the most meaningful way possible. But we do have a couple of world premieres at the festival, and hopefully those will get picked up. We have a very strong track record of featuring work that goes on to receive, you know, Oscar nominations, Oscar wins.
Mm.
We opened with 20 Feet from Stardom a few years ago and had Darlene Love come and sing on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on to win the Academy Award. Last year, our jury prize winner was a really powerful film called Strong Island by Yancey Ford that was nominated for the Academy Award this year. And Yancey came to the festival. So each year we're I think, a little ahead of the curve. That's our goal, is really to find the best work that we think is going to have a long engagement process with the community, with film lovers. Let me also just say that I'm very familiar with the Bermuda Film Festival. I've never been. I'm available if anyone needs me down there, though.
Awesome.
And
you can work something out, certainly.
I love it. But they do a really wonderful job. I'm a part of an organization called the Film Festival Alliance, which really is a professional organization that seeks to bring together film festivals from around the United States, but also sort of the North American footprint. So the Caribbean, Central America, Canada.
Oh, really?
To really help festivals come together, learn from one another, share resources and information. So, you know, when you guys come to town, please do connect with me, because I'd love to sit down, maybe we could grab lunch and talk about what's happening with that and get everyone in Bermuda plugged in. That'd be great.
Oh, that would absolutely be fantastic, because, you know, like I said, that precisely what Bermuda as a whole, tourism and everything, what we're trying to do is to create sort of like a pipeline, because we are 1 hour and 40 minutes from the East Coast. So it's such an easy trip for Bermuda to anywhere on the East Coast. It's such a, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away. So it makes things very convenient.
Yeah.
And also to have the pipeline fed, you know, creatively, but also, like I said, you know, as a whole, Bermuda's, you know, whole other mandate is to just create, you know, other avenues for you know, commerce between here and there. And the creative bit is Bermuda does, in this small island, has a tremendous pool of talented people. So, you know, but at the same time, you need to get out of your area and experience, you know, different things, of course. And
let me
then,
just jump in here real quick. Now would be a good time for you to give the website address where people can go
that's
and vote for
definitely
Gina.
Definitely, I was about to say. Thank you.
To be one of the hosts. And then we're going to jump into, we have Kahira Walker on the other line, the founder, one of the founders of the Tilt Film Festival, who's also sponsoring this discussion with Richard Wesley that we're both co-hosting. So why don't you give that information real quick, Gina, then we're going to jump out to Kahira, where people can vote for you to...
All right, what I'm going to do, so it's the website, first of all, is called the T underscore talk show. So it's T-H-E-T underscore T-A-L-K-S-H-O-W .com. And also you can go on Facebook, and it's also the same thing, the T talk show, or Channel 82. Now, to vote, what they're asking people to do is to vote for the contestants. There are 10 finalists left, and I am one of them. We need 5 finalists. And on May 5th, we're actually going to live stream, starting from 6 p.m., we're going to tape 2 one-hour talk shows with the finalists, 5 in each group, live streamed, a real live talk show, and that will ultimately be the pilot for the show for who's going to get, you know, who the selections are. So if I could just quickly tell you, the finalists are Patricia Poxon Nesbitt, Cammie Bean Canes, Tanika Eve, myself, Gina Payne Scott, Aziza Ferbert, Kristen White, Serena Brangman, Charlene Sousa, Marlene Juliet Flynn, and Patrice Frith Hayward. So what you need to do is go again to the website or to Facebook or Instagram. We're on Instagram, the T underscore talk show. The T underscore talk show. And then you want to go and you'll find my bio, Gina Payne Scott, and click vote. And you can vote once from each device. And Facebook, if you go to my Facebook page, Gina Payne Scott, you'll see everything about it. You go to Kay Thompson Live, you'll see about it.
Right.
But it's just going to be very exciting.
All the people in the Montclair Film Festival, we want you to vote. I'm going to open up Kahira Walker's line as well. Kahira, one of the co-founders of the Tilt Film Festival, who is co-sponsoring this discussion that we're doing with the Montclair Film Festival with Richard Wesley. Kahira, how are you today? Talk a little bit about Tilt.
Hi, I am great. Thank you so much for having me on. How is everyone?
Good.
Everybody's
Thank
good.
You.
We also have Tom Hall, executive director, as you know, of the Montclair Film Festival, Gina Payne Scott, Byron Saunders, and legendary Wayne Gilman, and, of course, Kay Thompson live and myself.
Yay.
Come on, give me the deeper look. You're right here next to me. Of course, I'm not going to forget about you. But go ahead.
No, you
said talking about the festival. Go ahead.
Well, first and foremost, Tom, thank you so much for giving us the community partnership this year. We are really, really honored to have that title and to be in partnership and collaboration with the Montclair Film Festival. It is a huge coup for us coming out of the gate as the first women's multimedia festival of its kind. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, the honor is ours. Thank you for doing it. We're really excited.
Yeah, so are we. So are we. And, of course, I'm in incredible company talking to Richard, having this intimate conversation with Eric Payne. And really for us, we just felt it was necessary to a festival that was going to highlight all of the achievements of women. So often, women have to fracture themselves in what they do. You know, there's family and there's work and there's dreams and there's all these different things. And we felt that we needed a platform where we could literally bring all of that together and have all types of industries kind of cross-pollinate and celebrate each other. Because oftentimes women in film do not know how women in tech are making moves, and women in comedy don't know how women in fashion are exploding the glass ceiling and changing the narrative. So that's really how Tilt was born. I went to a couple of my friends, actually Lisa Payne, Eric's sister, and Professor Jennifer Wager, and I said, what do you think about this idea? We were working on the NORC International Film Festival together, and they were like, oh, my God, this is great. So we started it.
Wow.
And here we are.
Wow. That's awesome okay. that you're talking about the fact you're the first woman. What were you saying, Ma?
Yeah, I was just going to tell Kahira, thanks for coming on Kay Thompson Live here, you know, and giving us this information because the film festivals are so valuable and they're growing
yeah.
in, you know, interest and people are very excited about it, especially with women in film. So we need to,
yeah.
you know, send some
yeah.
more women filmmakers and with all the artists we know of and we have been interviewing over the years, oh, so many people I could... Oh, so many people I could talk about, and we're going to be getting them involved. So I'm glad to hear that we're going to be having a relationship, I hope, with the Bermuda Film Festival. So therefore,
yeah.
you know,
yes.
keep everybody.
Also, I want to
Absolutely.
Get...
Absolutely, and then, of course,
another,
you being...
Byron Saunders is a director, writer, in light. Byron, speak to how kind of this you know, it's not theater, but there's a lot of great scripts that come out of Tom and Kahira and Gina and Wayne and Mom. We all know that a lot of great scripts, a lot of great plays have been turned into really fantastic movies. And I'd like us to really kind of briefly talk about how we're addressing that a little bit. You know, how,
absolutely.
How the theater can serve as a fodder and foundation for, can be a foundation for great scripts for films.
It really can be. In fact, when the Black Filmmakers Film Forum Foundation got started with the Reggie and Warren Hudman brothers, they actually started it. I gave them the space at the Frank Rivera Writers Workshop for them to start that organization, and we engaged and encouraged filmmakers, film writers, to bring their scripts so that they could be dramaturgs and given the opportunity to be fleshed out before reaching the producers and getting to the film makers themselves. But now that you're seeing the advent of the cable industry moving
mm-hmm.
ahead, and you have the internet opportunities by way of the manner in which YouTube and uploading webisodes, all of this is impacting on our industry. And my question to both Tom and to the other filmmakers, with respect to the Montclair Film Festival, do you now have the accreditation from the Academy of Arts and Sciences to become a voting facility? Because that's the next
mm-hmm.
step in
mm-hmm.
in really validating the fine films that you guys are showing. I mean, you have a lineup that's incredible. So tell us a little
Thank
bit more
you.
About that and integrating, yes.
Yeah, so the Academy, this is Tom, the Academy rules for short films in particular, although they just modified yesterday the rules
yeah.
for documentary
yeah.
films, do have a caveat that allows them to play certain film festivals and qualify for nomination. So those
yeah.
festivals traditionally have been festivals that there's a certain number of years that you have to be around in order for them to allow you to participate in that program. So we're next year, I think, eligible to apply for that program in our eighth
Excellent.
Year.
Wow.
So that's definitely a goal. Although I may be off by a year or two, maybe 10 and maybe seven,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but it's definitely, because it's always
Which are qualifying you, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're looking to qualify for that. And the same with a lot of arts funding, the NEA grants, the National Endowment for the Humanities grant. Things of that nature tend to be driven by how long you've been incorporated as a nonprofit
yeah.
film organization.
Correct.
So we're hoping to cross that line soon.
Yeah, and I can speak to the other film festival that I'm the communications director for and the chair of submissions and filmmaker relations. The NORC International Film Festival is actually now in its third year, and this is our year to qualify for an accreditation from the Academy. So we have had to basically, yeah, so we are literally lining up, getting all of our ducks in a row, and we're applying for the accreditation because we have been really privileged to have over 800 submissions in our first year. And We had some incredible international films come out of our festival. We had a couple of films come out that received distribution that are on HBO shorts. So we had a lot of movement. In terms of Tilt, obviously, with us launching in 2019, we will be moving towards that accreditation. But it's important for everyone to know that we are not just film. We are going to curate an amount of film, but we are multi-pronged. So we will be featuring panels and workshops, film. Mm-hmm. We are heavy on the writing end of it because we believe that everything begins with the pen. So,
right.
You know, you have the screenwriters and you have the playwrights and you have the authors. Literally everything that ends up launched on the screen, large or small, starts with the pen. So our focus is for female writers as well.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And, you know, I, just speaking to that as far as curating people, is that my daughter just walked in. My mom, Kate Thompson, she started, you know, her workshop that she started years ago basically helps people to understand that you have to be able to articulate your idea and, you know, what it is that your goal and your objectives are. Because like you said, everything starts with the pen. And that's exactly one of the things I'm teaching her workshop now all of these years later. And it is so mm-hmm. effective to have, you know, to have a pool of people to actually create these films and everything. But it absolutely starts with you being able to articulate what it is that you are trying to, you know, to go for. And a lot of the, you know, in many communities, broken English or, you know, I don't want to say black communities only, but of course, the areas that don't have the best grammar that comes out of them, this area in film will absolutely help to, you know, to us to take a look at that as a community and how important or how not important it is to, you have proper grammar. Is it that important or is it not? But you have to be able to articulate your intentions and your point and what it is that you're trying to do. So I agree with that. And that's one of the things my mom always stressed, how you articulate and enunciate and present yourself. So it does start with the pen, you know.
It really
does. How you perceive.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a, you know, I don't know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you have a space where vernacular is welcome and you have this time in our, you know, in our lives right now where people are self-publishing all the time, and it's wonderful, but there is a very key piece that is missing in that process, and that people are just pushing content out, and you can't enjoy a story because you can't get through a sentence. And so us, it's
so true.
You know, it's so necessary to let people know that that's not necessarily the way to get there.
Right. Go ahead, Ma.
Sorry, we don't mean to interrupt, but my mom's trying to let us know that we're coming up on the end of the show. So we've got about 2 minutes left. Want to thank you guys. Wanted to say, Ma.
Yes, of course I wanted to. Yeah, this has really been a very good conversation, mm-hmm. and we're going to be doing it again very soon. And thank you for participating in Kate Thompson Live. And we'll be calling you again to come on and get the valuable information about film internationally, okay? Wayne Gilman, where are you?
I'm still here. This has been a very interesting conversation. You know, I mean, I have a radio background, and I used to be an Adonis, but I have a radio face now. And if there's room for me to be a participant in any one of your events, I'm available. Since you're 501c3, I could even give you a tax statement for that. Call me when you can. Kay is my manager.
Well, hold on 1 second. First,
Kay,
let me say thank you, Tom. Let me say thank you, Tom Hall, for calling in from the Montclair Film Festival. Tom, we appreciate you calling in and sharing what's happening with the Montclair Film Festival.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's great talking with all of you. Hope to see you there. Montclairfilm.org for more information.
We'll definitely be in touch with the Montclair Film Festival, Tom Hall, for sure. But, Eric, go ahead. Were you about to say something else? Because I just wanted
to. Thank you. Hold on. One day. Thank you to Kahira Walker, Tilt Film Festival. Kahira, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
We're going to do it again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Kay, for sure.
All right. Thank you very much. Gina Payne Scott, from calling all the way, our correspondent from Bermuda.
Bermuda, please go to the talk, the TV talk show in Bermuda. Go on my Facebook page, Gina Payne Scott, and please vote for me to be one of the four panelists. It is called The T underscore talk show.
All right. Thank you, Gina. Bye-bye. All right. Wayne Gilman, brother, thank you very much, Mr. Co-host.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for calling. We had a very full, packed show. Thank you, everybody. We got to go. Bye-bye.